Welcome to the Take Six podcast.
Hello and welcome to the second round. I mean, the Take Six podcast. This is a Raptors edition, and that was a very corny joke to start this one off. As always, I'm your host, Hunter Surplus. Today we have a very special guest, but before we get to him, let me introduce my man, Callum Wise. As always, with me on the other line. Callum, how are you doing?
Doing good and bad after last night. But,
Yes, we don't need to talk about that. All positivity on this podcast today. And that special guest that I alluded to right off the top, we have Sportsnet producer Chris Black. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. I don't know what bad news or bad emotions you guys are talking about. I watched the Raptors team play fantastically well last night, and that's all I know about the sports world.
Yeah, that is it. That is the only thing that happened last night. That is the only thing. We've got tunnel vision here on this podcast. And I understand, Chris, that you were actually at the game last night. How was that?
It was good, but it was also a little strange. Again, I have no idea why, but it seemed like there were more empty seats than you would expect for a playoff game. Again, who knows where those people might have been. But it was a little quieter to start, a little more subdued. I think also that had a lot to do with the result never really being in doubt, but still fun to be in the building for sure.
Yeah, it's always fun to get out there to Raptors games. And this series, as everybody should know, they took that one 4-1. And Chris, like you said, the outcome was never really in doubt. We knew that this series was going to be a quick one in the Raptors' favor. A lot of people were hoping a four-game sweep there, but they lost the first game, as the Raptors usually do. So how do you guys feel about this Raptors team in comparison to years past? And we can start off with Chris. What do you think?
I mean, to me, it's almost easier to ask what's the same, because there's really not much. You got a new coach. You got a new sharpshooter. Siakam's different. The center might be the biggest difference. I mean, I know Kawhi is a big change from DeMar, but there's really not that much the same. If you go back and look at last year's playoff rotation, DeRozan, Valanciunas, Miles, Wright, Poeltl, and Anunoby playing a big role. There's not much that's the same. So this is, as it's pretty shocking in 12 months, how different this team is to what we were seeing a year ago when they were dispatched by Cleveland in the second round so easily.
Cal, what do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. I think there is so much that has changed compared to last year. Like you said, Kawhi Leonard, he is obviously the better player, but I like how you said that the center is a huge change, because Marc Gasol is a huge upgrade. And some people still don't see it that way, but you could tell on how he dominated Vukinic in that series that he made a big difference in probably their best player on Orlando in Vukinic. So, and yeah, just Siakam has upgraded. Larry is 1 year more experienced. So is all the guys who were here last year, which wasn't much, obviously. But I'd like this team a lot more than last year's.
Yeah, you guys both said it there. It is a completely different team, coaching, star players, starting five. I think Kyle Lowry's the only guy in the starting five that was in that same starting five as the playoffs last year, which is shocking, right? Like, you don't see a team turn over this much and continue their success, which has been really cool. So there's been a lot of stats kind of poured out throughout this series as, you know, NBA Twitter gets ramped up for the playoffs. And I just wanted to know if you guys have any favorite stats from this, you know, quick five game series.
I mean, for me, obviously, I'm going to pump out one of my own that I was looking up. I mean, I'm certainly not the only one to talk about this, but the dominance of the starting lineup, I think that was the obvious trend in the series. By the time last night's game was over, the starting lineup outscored Orlando by 84 points in this series. And what I looked up a couple days ago, and then just, you know, if you add yesterday's game to it. They've played 18 games together dating back to the regular season, and they've been outscored in just two of those games. So, I mean, the starting lineup's just the pieces fit really, really well. And the common thread between all five of those guys, which you don't get in every starting lineup in the NBA, is all five of them are really high IQ players, just really smart, really understand the game, really understand how to play off of one another. So, you know, it just seeing them dominate the way they did is probably it's my favorite stat of the series, but it's also why I'm most optimistic for this team heading into the second round.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I have some favorite single stats that I have. I think Siakam's 30-point night showed that he has just evolved so much, and it continues into the playoffs. And also, Kawhi's three-point shooting has just been amazing in these playoffs. Last night, he went 5-for-5 from three. And overall, in the playoffs, he's shot 54% from three, which is amazing. So I think that just shows on how amazing a shooter Kawhi is.
Yeah, both those are solid, and we'll definitely need, you know, all of those, what you guys just brought up, to go as deep as Raptors fans think the Raptors are going to go. My favorite stat is that Pascal Siakam is one of five guys in the NBA to average more than 22 points and 8 rebounds in that first series. The other guys are Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Embiid, and Giannis. Before game 5, he was one of three to average 24 and 8 plus. And I think that really shows, we've kind of mentioned a couple times, is the growth of Siakam, how much better he's gotten, and how key he has been for this Raptors success, and how key he's going to be for the Raptors success in the long run, not only this season, but in seasons to come. And with that, I'm sure we might have some same answers here. We might have some different answers on this next one. But who has been the most outstanding player to you guys in this series? Is it going to be the obvious Kawhi? Are you guys going to go a little bit, you know, off the board with without those top three, or what? Chris, what do you think?
To me, if you're looking at who impacted this series the most, to me, it's Lowry. I get the scoreless game one, but if you look everywhere other than the point total, he impacted the game more than anyone. Third in the NBA in assists, and that's in the first round, 8.6, top five in steals per game, the most charges drawn in the first round, the most loose balls recovered, the most deflections, and most importantly, plus 106 the Raptors were with Lowry on the court. He impacts the game more than anyone when you consider all aspects. And really, I literally have no clue how many points he averaged, but I don't care either. He's my he's my favorite Raptor. And I think as he goes, that's how far the Raptors are going to go. Because when you saw last night, when he's at his best, this team can win the title.
I don't want to say Leonard because it's just the obvious choice, but like, he just played out of his mind. Especially like, even when he was sick, he still played okay. And obviously Siakam picked up the pieces. But I mean, Leonard has shown everyone that the rest has worked, at least in this first year. I mean, obviously it was Orlando, so it's not the best team, but they still made it to the playoffs, so they're not a bad team. And I think just like Leonard ending last night with a plus 38 and a plus minus was just insane. That just shows, like, going back to what Chris said, the dominance of the starters is just amazing. And Kawhi being that primary scorer has just fit into that role so easily and has carried this team in points. But yeah, I definitely like what Lowry's done this series, and it doesn't matter how many points he scored, he's still the facilitator of this team.
Yeah, you guys are both, you know, spot on with that. Obviously, Kawhi's been a very heavy hand in what the Raps have done, and Kyle Lowry is just doing Kyle Lowry things. Four charges taken in the first half in last night's game, which is absolutely absurd. My player of the series for this one is going to be Marc Gasol. and that is for shutting down Vucevic, like you said earlier, Callum. He averaged 20-12 in the regular season, Vucevic did, and only 11-8, and that's points and rebounds, on less than 40% shooting versus Gasol this series, which is crazy, because he turned, you know, Vucevic turned from an all-star player to, you know, a bona fide scrub, right? Like a beautified scrub against this Raptors team. And he was essentially not played off the court, but, you know, he didn't have the impact that I know for a fact Orlando was looking for. And I think the big attribution to that is Marc Gasol. And obviously Ibaka, you know, played quite a few minutes against him as well. But I think Gasol brought that energy right from the tip. And you saw his not even only on Vucevic, but, you know, his hands were everywhere. His body was everywhere. He was banging bodies with just about everybody. So I'm going to take Gasol on his defensive play. And obviously his facilitating on the offensive end was pretty crucial as well to this team. So quickly on that Gasol and Vucevic matchup, like I said, you know, Gasol kind of dominated him on the defensive end. Do you think that Gasol will be able to bring that same impact on our round two series against Philadelphia against a guy like Joel Embiid?
He did do an awesome job against Vucevic, but I think the one thing to keep in mind is, and this is something that I noticed when I was there, is Vucevic had no room to operate at all because the Raptors just didn't respect anyone else on Orlando to score. So they really collapsed. I mean, I agree with you that Gasol is an awesome defender, and he did a really nice job on Vucevic, but also guys were, you know, digging down on him the second he put the ball on the floor. Lowry was getting down there and poking and prodding. And so I think it's going to be a lot harder come once Joel Embiid comes to town and you've got J.J. Redick and Jimmy Butler and all those guys, Tobias Harris, all ready and willing to shoot threes. So I think it's going to be a lot harder, but Gasol's a really smart defender. And the one difference is if Toronto defends with this type of intensity that they really haven't had all year long, then I think it'll be very interesting to see. But yeah, it's going to be a lot harder this round for sure.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think what you said about there being multiple defenders on Vucevic is extremely true. I mean, Gasol did an amazing job on him, but he did have a lot of help when he was keeping him from the rim. He had people going for that ball and getting the steals on him. And it's not going to be the same with Philly because, like you said, their whole starting lineup can shoot. So they're always going to be a threat. And I think that Joel Embiid is just an extremely aggressive player towards the rim. So, and he's a huge body. He is one of the biggest centers in the league, I think. And so he's just going to be... like, obviously, Vucevic was amazing during the regular season, but so was Joel Embiid. And there is a reason he was the starting center in the playoffs or in the All-Star game. So I think it's going to be a lot tougher matchup, but I think that he can do a good job against him.
Yeah, and I, you know, Embiid's also quite a bit of a bigger body than Vucevic. Like, it's not really comparable. I think Embiid also has a much wider skill set. What Embiid is really good at, he is much better than what Vucevic is really good at. But you guys are both right. The whole like spacing of the floor is going to be totally different against a team like Philly, who is, you know, a better scoring team than the Magic are. And I don't know. I hope he can have that same impact kind of one-on-one against Embiid. You can't really sag off some of these guys unless it's Ben Simmons. So yeah, I hope he does. I just hope he doesn't get elbowed in the face. I don't know if Gasol will be able to hold up with that Embiid elbow as well as Jared Allen did. And then so we talked about Kawhi Leonard a little bit earlier in the podcast. Callum mentioned him as his favorite player this series, so I'll let him start off with this one. Is Kawhi Leonard in these playoffs all that you expected? We've seen him all year, and he said that those 82 games, or I guess 60 games for him, were just kind of practice games rather than the real thing, and that the playoffs are what matters, that June is kind of where everything is going to get into full force for him. is this the Kawhi Leonard that you expected coming into these playoffs?
Yes. Like I said before, he's played so well through the series, and all that rest has shown. Obviously, like I said before, this is the first round against an Orlando team who is not even close to the same level as Philly, so it's going to be a lot different. But his shooting was just spot on, and especially his three-point shooting, which was amazing during the series. And I think, like, hopefully all that rest will just project throughout this playoffs, that he'll remain healthy. And especially come Philly, he's going to have to play more minutes, I feel, than he did against Orlando, because they can't rely on that bench, because the bench just hasn't been there compared to the starting lineup. So I hope this continues. I'm pretty sure it will, but yeah, I'm extremely satisfied so far with playoff Kawhi.
Yeah, it's interesting. Cal keeps mentioning the threes, which I agree with. It's nice to see him hit those shots, because he can go every once in a while. He can go kind of a week or a few games where his shot seems off from distance. But to me, what stood out in this series was he got to his spots, if that makes sense, with ease. Like, anything he wanted to do, you could see whatever it was he wanted to accomplish, whatever shot he wanted to get, he got. And the one thing I looked up, he was almost 10 shot attempts per game in the paint, and that's up about 13% compared to the regular season. So he was getting there whenever he wanted. And then just kind of from a small kind of micro storyline point of view, that play yesterday where he caught the home run pass with one hand, cradled it, and then finished without taking a dribble. Like, that's, you know, every once in a while he does something on the court that reminds you, like, yeah, there's pretty much no one else in the world that can do it. He's not super explosive, and he's not super flashy, but every once in a while with those giant mitts of his, he does something like that. And that was pretty cool to see, especially in person.
Most shocking thing to me about, you know, quote unquote playoff Kawhi, is like, I still get surprised. I've watched him play pretty much every game this season, but his offensive ability is wild. Like, Chris, you brought up that side where he got to the paint at will, basically. And those are against big guys. And Orlando was a very good defensive team, you know, throughout the second half of this season. And being able to get to where he wanted to get against a team with that good of a defensive system was very impressive to me. And him just being able to convert on, you know, just about everything that he shot, whether it was a three or inside the paint, his patented mid-range jumper, whatever it was really exciting for me. I always kind of, you know, you always expect him to be really good defensively, and you know, he protected that honor, I guess, in this series, and I think it should continue. He's not necessarily going to be going against the best defensive competition next season, like in terms of matching up against him. I don't know if they'll put Simmons on him. They might throw Butler out there, but I think Kawhi is going to be able to overpower him and hopefully continue his stretch of dominance like, you know, he did in San Antonio when he won that finals MVP. And speaking of that San Antonio team, Kawhi Leonard played with a guy named Danny Green, who struggled a little bit for this Raptors team in this first round series. He only shot 35% from three, which is kind of where his bread and butter is, not up to par on his regular season percentages there, and only averaged 8 points per game, which is down from the regular season. I don't know if this was just, you know, kind of one series, and he did kind of start to heat up a little bit come game four and five. But Chris, can you see him struggling in the series coming up, and what will that mean for this Raptors team if he can't get his three-point shot up to par?
To be honest, I didn't even notice his struggles all that much. Like, it wasn't, you're talking, if he's 35-36%, you know, we'd be happy if he was at 40%. So, you know, to me, that's not a big, it's not a big struggle. And his biggest job in the next round will be defense. We'll be doing a job on Butler or Redick, and helping out on Embiid. Like, I really don't care if he shoots 25% from three. I mean, the numbers, he wasn't a huge factor just because Kawhi was getting everything he wanted. Siakam was getting everything he wanted. We didn't really, the Raptors didn't really need Danny Green all that much this round offensively. And even next round, to me, it's if he can give good defense, make sure Butler doesn't go off for 40 and steal a game on his own, then I would be happy.
We didn't really notice Green shooting not terribly, but like not up to par this series just because we didn't need him. But I think that going into this Philly series, we're probably going to need another shooter because the defense and the overall team in Philly is just going to be better than Orlando. So I definitely think he's going to have to just show up a little bit more. I mean, he didn't get the ball that much, to be honest. Like he only shot 5 times last night, and he hit 2 for 5. It's like you said, because Leonard and Siakam are getting everything they want and they're making the shots, so we didn't need it. So I think the first game against Philly is going to test out what like we're going to need in this series. So yeah, I think Danny will either just have to play his great defense as usual, or he's going to have to show up a little bit more to help get this team above and beyond.
100%. And with that, you know, kind of starting five, that powerful starting five that Philly has, there's always one guy in JJ Redick who's going to have to guard, you know, one of the weaker guys on the court. He's not going to be able to guard Kawhi. He's not going to be guarding Siakam. They probably won't put him on Lowry, and they're definitely not going to put him on Gasol. So if you have that weak of a defender coming in and guarding a guy like Danny Green, who will get streaky. If he makes 1 3, he can make, you know, 7 or 8 threes in a game. And I think that'll probably get him, you know, the confidence that he needs. Not saying that he needs any confidence, but we'll get him that confidence to kind of break out of this, not so much struggle, but, you know, get him out of this little rut that he's been on. And I think he could play a big part offensively in this series. And like you said, Chris, will be able to play a very big part defensively as he does. He's such a good defensive player that any matchup really on the Philly backcourt / wings isn't necessarily scary. I think he could lock up Tobias Harris, do his best on Jimmy Butler, and then, you know, Ben Simmons is going to have Kawhi Siakam all over him. So that might not be something we need to worry about. And then just trailing JJ Redick, make sure those wide open handoff threes don't happen. And it's a big thing. And I agree with you guys that he didn't have the biggest struggles this series, but he did, you know, it would have been nice to see him hit that 40% mark like we're kind of used to, because it's funny with Danny Green, you see him shoot and you're like, oh yeah, that's gonna go in, it'll go in. And even when he's shooting only 30%, I still think every single three that he shoots is gonna go in. So Chris, I know you gotta leave soon here, so we'll get round this out with the last question. What do you think the Raptors can do in this next series, or, you know, maybe even in the first 2 or 3 games of this next series, to prove that they are a real finals threat? I know that. I'm sure you know that. Callum, I know, definitely knows that. But there's some people out there questioning that this Raptors team might not be the real deal to make the NBA Finals. What can they do in this next series to prove that?
Well, I mean, to be honest, they're not going to prove anything until they beat a team like this in the playoffs. I tweeted something out yesterday or today. The Raptors have never beaten a 50-win team in a playoff series. You know, all their wins have come against teams that are in the 40, you know, 42 to 48 win range. So, I mean, this is a series they need to win to show that they are a contender. But in terms of, you know, like legitimate things in this series, what impressed me the most after what we saw the first round, what we've seen in years past, is take care of business in your first 2 games at home. Go out and go up 2-0. Even if this series goes 6, I would be impressed if they come out and take a 2-0 series lead going back to Philly.
Yeah, I think just winning the first game is a big thing for the Raptors, because we've been plagued with the first game curse, and it obviously showed against Orlando. They beat us by 3 points with that, with the 3 at the end, and then we just dominated the rest of the series. So I think just to show not to give Philly confidence, we should win that first game and second game going into Philly with 2-0. And I think beating them in 6 or 5 and not going to 7 would show that we are the much more dominant team going into what should be Milwaukee in the conference final.
What I would just say is the one, like, Philly's a really, really good basketball team. Like, I don't, to me, there's no shame in going 7 against these guys and pulling it a win. And even if they lost, I don't think it would be the worst. I mean, it would, because literally this is a 1-year window with Kawhi, but Philly's a really good team. Like, I know everyone's going to point to the 3-1 regular season series that the Raptors won. And, you know, kind of take leap from that they should be a pretty significant favorite, but I don't think you can look into those games at all. Like, Markelle Fultz was a starter in the first game. Gasol didn't play in any of the games. Like, Mike Muscala and Landry Shamet were starters in one of those games. Like, if you just look at the matchups in the starting line, like, there's a lot of matchups that are pushes. Like, the center matchup is tilted towards Philly. Kawhi versus Butler is tilted towards us. I think Siakam Harris is a push, and I know Raptor fans will probably disagree with me on that, but Harris is a really good player. Green and Redick, I think, is a push. And I think it's going to, you know, if Lowry continues to play well, I think that's where the edge will come. Coaching, I don't think anyone has a big advantage. Like, I think the bench is probably a wash. But these are two really good teams. So I don't think, this is going to be a challenge. And I think this is a lot closer to 50-50 than what most Raptor fans probably think coming off of that dismantling of Orlando.
Yeah, especially just like you said, the starting five versus starting five is going to be extremely tough because they're both teams are centered solely around the starting five, really. Like, other than a couple players on the bench of the Raptors and a couple players on Philly, but it's mostly a starting five versus starting five matchup because they put all their chips into that basket in getting the Tobias Harris and it's going to be extremely. I think you said, if Lowry outshines Simmons, that will be the tilting point. I think that's extremely correct. Yeah, I think it's going to be a very tough series, and hopefully we can pull it out. I think we can, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and you guys mentioned the starting fives. To me, there's, you know, come game 3 and game 4, like, there's going to be some games here where both teams' starting fives are probably going to play, you know, 40, 42 minutes a night, just because that's how good their starting fives are, right? Like, they're both these teams' starting fives are some of the best in the league in terms of just, like, raw talent. So it'll be a fun series regardless, whether it goes 6 or 7 or, you know, 5 or 4, as long as it's in the Raptors' favor, I will be very happy. Chris, I know you got to head out, so my man, thank you so much for joining us. We'll definitely have to have you back on at some point.
Anytime you guys want to have me, you know my number.
Perfect. Where can people find you on Twitter, first off?
By Chris Black, as in B-Y, Chris Black. All the statistical minutia you'd ever want. Raptor, mainly, probably. Sprinkling.
Perfect. Alrighty, man. Well, thank you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your night. And Callum Wise, same to you, buddy.